You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You can't imagine what it's been like talking to these families. You know, every night I go to bed crying. The pain that these families have experienced is a million times more profound. I don't want any of my colleagues to have to go what I've been having to do. I don't want any family in Texas to ever have to undergo this. This is shameful that this man has had seven massacres under his belt. He calls himself a Christian. He's the antithesis of being a Christian. What's happening here is godless.
Godless. My gosh, what a powerful statement and a label aimed directly at Texas Governor Greg Abbott. This is June 2nd, 2022. The remarks were coming from Texas State Representative Roland Gutierrez, a Democrat, and he just believes that more gun control needs to be instituted, even in Texas. And I insist, I'm not trying to take away your guns. In fact, I have guns. But he's blaming Abbott for all the school massacres all over the nation, actually, but of course, most recently in Uvalde. Let me remind you of something that most of you are certainly aware of and know. We do have way too many gun deaths on a daily basis in the nation. They just don't get the kind of attention that the Uvalde case did. And we've had some in Texas, the church shooting, you recall that one, the Walmart shooting. And for all of that, the Texas State Senator Gutierrez blames Greg Abbott. That he's doing nothing. Abbott did indicate that he was going to call a special session. Let me put it this way. A lot of folks read the fact that he was going to call a special session to deal with this. It's not that. It's a special counsel meeting of him and the lieutenant governor and attorney general. It's not going to be a special session. They're not calling the legislature back into session. So actually it got reported wrongly and then, of course, echoed in the echo chamber of the leftists. And then now Gutierrez saying it's a farce. There is not going to be no special session. So, again, that just proves that this man who claims himself to be a Christian is godless. We're going to get into that in more detail. And, of course, we have the latest shooting at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday. One of the shooting victims identified as a doctor had once operated on the man. Now, he had indicated he was going in looking for a particular doctor, not sure if this was him or not, and he was shooting anybody who got in his way. Who are you going to blame that one on? Oh, I know the guns. I know we're going to blame the guns again. We're going to spend more time on that, obviously, and it deserves it. And I remind you again, in the midst of all this political rhetoric and noise, we still have funerals and wakes underway in Uvalde. 19 students killed and two teachers. So many in that small community affected in one way or the other. And, of course, don't forget the trauma of the survivors that now might be out of the hospital, and some that weren't even shot but were inside and saw it happen. These young minds and what they went through. We'll get into that. Also, inflation. Biden says, not me, not my fault. Inflation, not my fault. Gas prices, not my fault. We're doing everything we can. Liar, liar, a flat-out liar. And baby formula, I didn't even know about it until April. If that's true, because it was months earlier, back in October, the first complaint came from a whistleblower. What the hell's going on in the White House? Who is in charge? Who's even bothering to tell Biden? Is he holding meetings or just ice cream socials? And then the Sussman trial, he comes out and says, I'm glad this proved that I wasn't guilty. Well, it did prove in the trial there's more to learn, and actually some are saying, no, it didn't prove you were guilty or not guilty. It just said the evidence was not material to the case, so they're not going to prosecute. And the mainstream media, the state-controlled media, which ignored it, fearing it was going to blow up and expose everything about Hillary Clinton, and it still might, ignored it until suddenly Sussman is found not guilty. They cannot get enough coverage on the air for you about it. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Live streaming at rumble.com. Lock and load, ready on the right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I have a few thoughts to share now that the trial has ended. First, I told the truth to the FBI, and the jury clearly recognized that with their unanimous verdict today. I'm grateful to the members of the jury for their careful and thoughtful service. Despite being falsely accused, I'm relieved that justice ultimately prevailed in my case. As you can imagine, this has been a difficult year for my family and me. But right now, we are just grateful for the love and support of so many during this ordeal. And I'm looking forward to getting back to the work that I love.
Getting back to the work I love, which means being an attorney. That's Jonathan. That is Michael Sussman after a federal jury found him, quote, not guilty of charges of perjury. Remember, I want to remind you of the case on this thing. This was a case where Sussman had sent an email to a member of the FBI, saying, hey, I've got something time-sensitive. I'm going to come over and talk to you and share it with you. And this just weeks before the election of between Biden and Trump, of course. He said, before Hillary and Trump, and I need to share this with you. And can I have some time pretty quickly? And he got an email back, let's do lunch such and such a day, 2 days later. So, and he said in the email, I'm here not on behalf of a client. I'm just being a good citizen. That's why I'm coming to you with this information. And then he repeated the same statement to the FBI agent when he met with him. The FBI agent was put on the stand to discuss what was said, and he repeated what I just told you. The actual email was not allowed to be presented as true evidence because statute of limitations. They missed it by just 2 days, maybe a day and a half. So they couldn't really introduce that other than supporting evidence that the FBI agent was saying what he was saying. So Sussman ends up in a jury in D.C. where it's a lot of questions about this jury. A couple of them had admitted they were ALJ supporters. I mean, they were Alexandria AOC, I should say, Ocasio-Cortez. A couple were Hillary Clinton voters. They're admitting this bias. And one of them even saying that they had a child that played on a team with one of Sussman's kids. How in the hell would somebody like that, all three of those, get even on the jury? Well, it's in D.C. There are a lot of people all tied together, and a lot of them are political. It's probably hard to find anybody that doesn't have something like that. But surprise, surprise, there was nobody to be found that had anything to do with Trump or MAGA or conservatives or independents. But they had these folks on there. So you got a question from the beginning, just how valid was this? But more importantly, many of us were already pretty sure it wasn't really going to hold up. Not because Sussman had not done wrong, and not because John Durham, the prosecutor, had not done a good job, because there's more evidence that got uncovered in the process. But we're learning a couple of things, even though it came back, quote, not guilty. Let's deal first with that issue. Michael Sussman coming out and saying that I told the truth. The jury believed me. So therefore, I am honestly not guilty. He's entitled to say that. I'm not going to say he can't. But Jonathan Turley, a legal analyst for Fox News, he had this reaction.
Well, I would be surprised, even with a favorable jury, that they concluded that Michael Sussman told the truth. You know, the text that he sent was, in fact, false, according to Durham and according to the view of many people. He said, I'm not representing anyone. I'm just basically a citizen coming forth with important information. And by the way, that information itself was completely unsupportable. I mean, it was really almost a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that there was a secret line of communication running through a bank between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin. And, you know, he pushed that into the FBI, just like the Clinton campaign pushed the Steele dossier into the FBI. But the jury really didn't see that full context. They didn't see the pattern that existed. But I doubt he would get many takers in saying that this trial really proved that he told the truth. I think that's beyond the verdict here.
Beyond the verdict. See, that's part of the issue right there. Because some of the information was not given to the jury, and understandably because it was considered not to be viable information and pertinent to the case. It doesn't mean that Sussman didn't try to get some of it put in, but he also got a chance to keep a lot of it out. Now, what was the play, if that were true? Well, first of all, having to do with the information being provided, was it really material to the case? Now, what do I mean by that? Even if he did tell a lie, even if Sussman told a direct lie, for instance, I'll give you something as an example. Let's say I ask you on the stand, is your favorite pet a horse? And you say, yes. But I got proof that you don't own any horses. You've never been near horses. You're afraid of horses. You have dogs. So a dog is your favorite pet. You have several of them. And I can prove that. But it's immaterial to the charges you're facing. And that's where the rubber hits the road. Is the information, is the evidence material to the actual case in front of the jury? And then the other part being, a lot of the stuff is not going to be allowed to be seen by this jury. Stuff that was pertinent in so many ways, but not specific to the perjury charge against Sussman. I'm reading a piece by MSNBC opinion columnist Barbara McQuaid, and she writes, to no one's surprise, a jury on Tuesday acquitted attorney Michael Sussman on charges that he made a false statement to the FBI in 2016. Everyone but special counsel John Durham seemed to see this verdict coming. First point, I'm sure Durham knew the way it's going, it's going to come down that way. Not just with the jury pool he had to select jurors from, and considering their allegiances to leftist candidates and or even a relationship with Sussman through kids playing on a sports team. But it was a false statement. He made a false statement. But Durham was smart enough to know also that it might be considered not material. But what I'm going to do is use this trial as an opportunity to start unveiling other things. And for instance, in that, if you recall, on the stand, Robbie Mook, who was a campaign aide to Hillary Clinton at the time, they were talking about the alleged tie, which they knew was a lie, between a Russia Alpha Bank and Donald Trump as a businessman, as possibly a backdoor channel between him and Putin. They knew it was a lie, and Robbie Mook testified to the extent that Hillary Clinton, after he conferred with her, said, go ahead and release it to the press, knowing it's a lie. Now, that was something we did not know officially. We could suspect, but it came out in the trial. So you did not see a lot of the state-controlled media really reporting on that. In fact, they pretty much did everything they could to ignore it. Let me give you an example of some of this. This is a look that's been compiled, and it points out that the left-leaning, this is the writing as it appears, and now this appears in, it's on Fox, so I want to always give you the source, and yes, Fox would be more conservative than liberal, and they were covering it. But, of course, the left were too busy covering the January 6th riot hearings, which are going nowhere, and still trying to resurrect the Trump-Russia collusion story. But in this case, left-leaning media personalities, reporters, and guests of MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, and The Washington Post were gloating. Sussman's been acquitted. The same day the verdict came down, an opinion piece in The Washington Post called Durham's case a flop, the latest in a string of Trump cover-up failures. There's no evidence of that, but don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And it described Trump's goal of erasing, quote, the enormously significance and depravity of the Russiagate scandal is, quote, decidedly unfulfilled. I mean, it goes on and on. And George Conway, frequent guest and lawyer on MSNBC, Morning Joe, said the investigation itself was a ridiculous and a joke, and the probe by Durham was headed to the trash can. Even Joe Scarborough described it's nothing more than a joke. And then, of course, you got Joy Reid of MSNBC, Chris Hayes, and the rest of them, all of them saying this is just a Republican obsession that came crashing down. They were doing everything they can to say, look, he got found not guilty. But when it was underway, and when the testimony was made, and when Robbie Mook on the stand tied Hillary Clinton directly, to releasing false information to the media, knowing it was false. What did you hear from them then? Do you hear it? I'm listening. Do you hear it? No, I hear nothing. They ignored it all. Well, they can ignore all they want. But again, Jonathan Turley, attorney, legal analyst for Fox, said that this case unveils there's more behind the curtain.
One thing that came out of this that I did raise recently is the importance that John Durham produce a report. You know, many Democrats came out and insisted that Mueller be allowed to not only produce a report, but release it unredacted. Mm-hmm. It's very important for John Durham to do the same thing, because the limitations on this trial really did indicate that there's a mountain of evidence that Durham may not have revealed, and that this could be an iceberg where we've only seen a small percentage of what he's been able to find.
Only a small percentage of what he's been able to find. In other words, there's a lot more. And if he produces a full report, which we hope and expect to come out this time around, we are going to get a lot more details of what was going on. Coming up, I've got a guest that's going to get into one school district has plans to start grading students based on their race. Not on their ability, not on their answers, but on their race. Does that sound like a good idea? And then the state of Florida is set to issue a formal report questioning the science behind gender-affirming care for people who believe they are transgender. We've got a lot yet to come. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And welcome back. And I remind you, I remind you that we are live streaming right now at rumble.com. We used to be on YouTube, but they didn't like what we had to say. Tough tornado. Because we're now live streaming rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine one word, Larry Connors, USA. And it'll take you right to a page where we have previous rumbles we've posted, and you can find the button that says live. Punch it. You join us in studio. Glad to have you. And don't forget, if you miss any program, you're part of it. Well, then you can always go to our podcast later, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Everything's branded easy like that. Not hard to find me. And simply pull up the podcast you missed and share with your friends and neighbors. And more importantly, subscribe for free. I'm not going to charge you for this information, as vital as it is and as important as it is and much work that I put in. It's all free to you. You can simply subscribe to LarryConnorsUSA.com for the podcast. Subscribe to the Larry Connors channel at rumble.com, our videos, and they'll be sent directly to you. You won't miss a thing. So here's a state of Florida that is actually going to deal with following the science. The left cries all the time, didn't they, during COVID? Follow the science. But their science can't even tell you if you have a penis, if you're a boy or a girl. And in fact, they say sometimes doctors don't really know when the baby's born. They just have to guess. By looking at what? There is or is no penis or things of that nature? Well, here's what they're doing in Florida. They're about to issue a 45-page report completed by the Florida Medicaid, requested by the Secretary of Agency for Healthcare Administration, which oversees Florida's Medicaid program. They consulted with several experts on sex reassignment surgeries, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormone treatments for people with gender dysphoria, and they're not proven as safe or effective treatments and are experimental and investigational. The study is presenting the benefits to mental health, including those claiming the services prevent suicide are either very low or low quality and rely on unreliable methods. Surveys, retrospective analysis, all highly biased, according to this document being released by the state of Florida. You got all of these experts in the field of healthcare research, clinical psychology, physical surgery, pediatric endocrinology, bioethics, all dealing through the lens of Medicaid standard of coverage. And this Medicaid has a rule that mandates sex reassignment treatments as a condition of coverage must be consistent with generally accepted professional medical standards, not experimental or investigational. So while clinical organizations like the Agency for Healthcare Administration and others endorse those treatments, they're not relying on high-quality evidence. In other words, they're not relying on science. They're relying on political wokeism. So the state of Florida is deciding these treatments do not conform. They're experimental. They're investigative. And we're not going to allow them. They basically are saying the most heinous operational option on the chart involves transforming children's bodies via irreversible surgery with the goal of aligning their outward physical traits with their gender identity. Top of the list, surgery. Surgery of the upper part of the body. Then surgery on genitals, reproductive organs. This could have major implications on the future gender dysphoria treatments in Florida, obviously, because these type of reports often inform rulemaking processes for what types of procedures and treatments that will be covered through Medicaid. They have not been following the science. They're making it up as they go along, and they don't really care about the science if it doesn't fit their narrative. Now, tell me, riddle me this. If I tell you, if your kid is a certain color, they're going to get a certain grade in school before they even take the test. Oh, you got to hear this story. Coming up next.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
My thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and remind you, we are live streaming even as I speak at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine. One word, Larry Connors, USA. Got to take you to the page, push live, and you're in studio with us. And joining us now is Jonathan Butcher. He's with the Heritage Foundation, author of Splintered Critical Race Theory and the Progressive War on Truth. I love it. Jonathan, glad to have you on board again with us, sir.
Great to be with you.
Well, I was looking at a piece that that really falls right into the area of your issues about the volume. You also wrote The Critical Classroom, showing that parents should reject racial bias, that there's an Oak Park and River Forest High School administration that is going to require teachers, require teachers next year adjust classroom grading scales to account for the skin color or ethnicity of students. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, it's extremely troubling because it's effectively lowering standards, right? They're lowering the expectations for these students to complete work on time, to do their best work when they complete assignments. So they're not doing these students any favors. It's not going to help prepare them for the future.
Well, of course, they think they are, because they say they're going to, it's an effort to equalize test scores among racial groups.
Well, I can't understand why that would ever be the goal for education, is not to create equal outcomes for everyone. I think it's to provide quality opportunities for students to succeed. I mean, there will always be some who score higher than others, because that's just the very nature of education, right? I mean, there will be some who have a natural inclination of certain subjects. There will be some who work harder than others. But we shouldn't be telling students that based on their identity, that's what's going to define their success. That is a devastating message to give to students.
And by identity, we're basically talking about skin color.
Well, absolutely. I mean, skin color, ethnicity, country of origin, particularly, though, it's this issue of race that has been, you know, at the front and center from the teaching of critical race theory,
sure,
and application of critical race theory in schools. But it's also, you know, gender identity is a close cousin of this idea. It is also comes from the same critical theory thinking that dates back more than 100 years and has its root in Marxism.
Well, and it all leads to that. But and what so many people tend to forget, I say everyone should have the equal opportunity, but you don't get an equal score unless you perform to that standard.
Well, and most certainly. And remember, this isn't the first time that we've seen something like this, right? A couple of years ago, the Smithsonian Museum of African American History put up a graphic.
I'm sorry, which group? It kind of broke up. Which group did this?
This was the Smithsonian Institution,
okay.
The Museum of African American History, put up a infographic saying that being on time, completing work on time, being punctual were all examples, effectively, of a white culture. That there was something wrong with that, because that was evidence of white supremacy. And that's nonsense, right? I mean, these are values of excellence and of, you know, that will lead to human flourishing, that they were essentially condemning as some sort of racial institution. And what they're really doing is they're letting students down, right? They're setting students,
yes,
up to fail by telling them that being on time is somehow not within their, you know, not within their culture.
Well, not only that, but they're not able to be on time. They can't read a clock. Who knows what other excuses come with it. But I'm looking again at some of this, a PowerPoint slide that's being given and shown to teachers as the school board's discussing this plan called Transformative Education, Professional Development, and Grading. And it says traditional grading practices perpetuate inequities and intensify the opportunity gap. But I think, that it just widens the gap and makes excuses. In other words, it even points out in here that competency-based grading, eliminating zeros from the grade book, would encourage and reward growth over time. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I mean, that's artificial grade inflation is effectively what that will result in.
Well, we've all had grading on the curve, and thank God sometimes, but this is above that step.
Well, sure. I mean, when you grade on a curve, you're effectively taking what your average score is, and you're sort of you're curving the all of the scores so that they reach above a certain figure, right? And that has to do with how students already achieved. By saying that you're going to get rid of zeros, you're making it so that, you know, it's a student's behavior and performance doesn't matter as much anymore. You know, and the big thing I think for Americans to see here is that this is not isolated. There are new teacher certification standards in Illinois that have the same concept in it, where they say that there's not one way to come to a right answer. There's not one right answer for many problems. Ideas of intersectionality and individual identity should be a part of instruction. I mean, all of these come from critical race theory, and they twist this idea that your choices, your decision, and your work matter more than the color of your skin.
You're listening to Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Foundation, also author of the book Splintered, Critical Race Theory, a Progressive War on Truth, and co-edited and wrote chapters in the Critical Classroom. This, of course, is the Oak Park and River Forest High School we're talking about in Illinois. And according to the Illinois Board of Educators, 38% of sophomore students taking the Scholastic Aptitude Test failed. 38%. The failure rate was 77% for black students, 49% for Hispanics, 27% for Asians, 25% for whites, which they say this signals and reinforces why we need to do this.
Well, I mean, it's how would lowering your standards help students achieve more on something like the SAT, which is, I mean, look, that's an independent assessment, just like the ACT. I mean, that's the College Board runs the SAT, and the ACT has its own, you know, company. So if you're in your K-12 school, if you're lowering the standards so that more students either pass or based on their, you know, ethnicity are more have higher scores, not because of their performance, just because of their skin, why then you're not going to make them do better on the SAT.
And this is just as one school district, but as you know, and you've documented in your writings and your books, that this is pervasive across the country. Sometimes it comes to the surface, and sometimes parents become aware of it, sometimes it doesn't. And in fact, I'm looking at one interview with a science teacher out of Santa Clara, California, who said in the interview he stopped giving zeros and deducting points for late work, as well as allowing students, quote, unlimited retakes for quizzes and tests. Boy, I wish I'd had that guy when I was taking third grade math. Go ahead.
Well, sure. I mean, look, with COVID, there's a great deal of catching up that students are going to need to do.
Right.
That's not the question, right? That's not the issue. The issue here is if you stop giving letter grades, or if you stop giving numerical grades based on student achievement, or in this example that we're talking about here from Oak Creek, you're talking about taking someone's actions and behaviors and saying that they don't matter. It, what you do doesn't matter. Only the group that you identify with is what matters for your grade. And that is a scary proposition.
So let's say
that is something that runs completely contrary to the American way.
Yeah, and let me take it in the last minute, one step further. A man, woman, transgender, whatever, comes out of medical school and they are certified as a doctor. Now, we don't know if they passed just barely or they were at the top of the class. They all are called doctor at that point. But if you're going to take that just past barely and open it down to another 40% that didn't get there, then the quality of health care or whatever the practice is, the rest of the public's affected. I give you the last 30 seconds.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, these are our future neighbors, doctors, the people who will be sitting across from us at church, the future teachers who will be educating our children. And so if we are not preparing them for the future, we're letting them down and we're letting future generations down.
And you see this going to continue, or are we going to be able to fight back enough of it to put a stop to it?
Well, I think parents and school board leaders and state lawmakers are rejecting these ideas. They reject them in surveys, and they're passing state legislation that rejects the concept that people should be judged by the color of their skin.
Absolutely. Jonathan Butcher, again with Heritage Foundation, author of Splintered, Critical Race Theory and Progressive War on Truth. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, forgiving student loans and the woman who sells her eggs to pay off her loans?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town & Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town & Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Well, what you've been now.
Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I know there are many out there that have some high student debt. I will have to admit, that was your scenario. I guess my approach when I went to school, my dad, as I've told and shared with you before, worked in the oil field. We were what some would call oil field trash. That's okay. I'm proud of it. He worked for every dime he possibly could, and he put aside money, but he could not afford to send four kids to college. It became incumbent upon us to either make the grades or get an athletic scholarship or work our way through and pay for it. Now, I was the oldest, so my determination was I would work. It took me 6 years to do a four-year plan because I had to spread it out with work. But at the end, I had no student debt. And I don't know how some of this debt is calculated now anyway. I mean, it's phenomenal numbers. I mean, folks leaving college with $100,000, and that seems small compared to others. How do you get to that point? Then how do you pay it off? I mean, there are experts and so forth saying, you know, here's how you approach it and so forth. Well, the other thing is, why are you bothering? Because look what the Biden administration has been doing. They just did it again, canceling $5.8 billion in student loan debt for former Corinthians students. That's going to be 500,000 students for former Corinthian College students. Now, Corinthian College, I want to share something with you about this. First of all, there are some that are saying this is obviously an attempt to buy more votes. Obviously, we would agree. Corinthian College was a large, for-profit, post-secondary education company, offered career-oriented diploma in healthcare, business, criminal justice, so forth. And they had numerous schools under it, Everest, Wild Tech, Head, and so forth. Corinthian ended up closing, but the debt is still owed. Owed to the government, because they got federal financing and so forth. But Biden just canceled it. 560,000 former students canceled. And they want to do more. They want to do it for all students. Cancel your debt, whatever it is. They think that's going to get them some extra votes. Well, if you would add to that, everybody that paid their college debt and paid their own way are parents who paid their students' college debt. If you're going to give them that money back, well, then maybe that would work. You, Larry, what the heck are you drinking in there? Well, you're watching on Rumble.com. You can see I'm not drinking any of that stuff you might think. But the bottom line is, they're not going to pay back. So why are you even struggle to still pay it now? Because of your ethics and what you think is right. Others are saying, oh, I get a free ride. Fine by me. And too many really don't need to be in college. First of all, they need to start at a junior college and find out they're really going to like college life and stay with it. Then get the core classes out. Every university you go to, I don't care if it's Yale or Harvard or whatever, you're going to have basic core classes. You can do it at a junior college. And a lot of folks aren't meant for college anyway. They're good. We need vocational training. We're missing that tremendously right now. But then comes a case out of New York City, a 28-year-old. She got a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. That's basically taking pictures. I didn't know they'd give you a degree for that. And then she went ahead and got a master's in public health. I do not know. Someone needed to redirect that young lady that neither one of those are going to be of value to you. I've told journalism students many times, there's no sense you getting a master in journalism unless you plan on becoming a head of a newsroom or something that might put you a leg up. It doesn't mean anything otherwise. I'm not knocking education. I'm simply saying evaluate what your goals are. And she ended up with $165,000 in student loan. $165,000. She said, I've been thinking about the college, cost of college when I was only 15. She did go to free community college classes for a while, graduate high school, and wanted to get a high-paying job, and got some university associate's degrees from local, and then went on, like I said, But still, she graduated debt, and then she came up with more, and finally it reached a point that she kept looking at, how am I possibly ever going to pay this back? You know what she decided to do? She donated her eggs. Egg donation requires hormone injections, much like the process of vitro fertilization. Doctors monitor donors to determine when the eggs can be collected. Happens in 10 to 20 minute procedure. She made her first egg donation one day before she started classes at NYU. She said, I ran out of time. I was desperate. She has so far sold off enough eggs to pay off $140,000. Now, that will help some families down the road that the woman was not able to produce eggs, so that's a help to that extent. Then there are those, well, if I let you take my arm off, will that reduce my debt? How about both legs? Would I be free then? This is wacko approach. Coming up, more on Uvalde. And Biden says inflation? What inflation?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.